Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
College sports will return to normal this fall, and summer recruiting is already in full swing. But this year, athletic departments may be feeling more pressure to court top athletes. That's because last month, the Supreme Court said the NCAA cannot limit educational benefits like grad school tuition or computers that colleges use to attract top athletes. Those benefits are expensive, and our next guest thinks the court's decision will ultimately make it harder for low-income students to go to college. Let's bring in Angel Perez. He's the CEO of the National Association for College Admissions Counseling, who's written an article in The Atlantic about his prediction. Angel, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And you write that the Supreme Court's decision and the move subsequently to allow for compensation for name, image, and likeness will create greater equity for some schools and some students. Why only some?
I think a big part of the reason why it's only some is because the actual athletes certainly will benefit, and this ruling is a long time coming. But the reality of the matter is most schools, especially after the pandemic, have really been stretched financially. And so if they are now going to incentivize athletes in order to attract athletes to their campuses, it could become really a financial trade-off that could disadvantage some of the lower income students.
On the other end of the spectrum, there's the big schools, the powerhouse athletic conferences that can actually raise a lot of money. How do you think they'll pass on those costs of these new benefits to athletes?
Well, I think it's important to note that those schools are actually in the minority of the over 1,000 plus members of NCAA schools. But those schools are actually going to be okay because they probably will be passing on the cost to the private sector through television and other sponsorship contracts.
And the smaller schools, how will they do it?
The smaller schools really are going to have to make some trade-off decisions. And so there are schools that may have to think about perhaps providing less financial aid for some students in order to incentivize their athletes, or perhaps they're going to take resources from their student support services budgets because they certainly won't have the resources to be able to do it all.
Why would they do that? Why would they make cuts to their educational programs and not cuts to the athletic department?
I think it's important for people to know that, first of all, college athletics is really important in the United States and particularly in American higher education. But a lot of colleges and universities use their athletic programs to recruit and retain students. And the other piece is that there's a lot of pride in the United States with collegiate athletics. And so if college programs do well, a lot of their alums will also donate to the institution. So there is a financial investment here as well.
So what's the bottom line? If these smaller schools without the financial resources as the big ones, what if they do start making cuts like this, making these trade-offs as you describe them? What's the result for students?
Well, I think the result could be that some of the students that were intended to be supported in this ruling, low-income students, students of color, actually may become disadvantaged as a result of this. So, for example, if a small school is going to cut their financial aid budget because they need to provide more resources for incoming athletes, that means fewer students who need the financial aid resources to get into the institutions will actually be admitted. So, in the end, it could end up hurting disadvantaged populations.
It's complicated, though, isn't it? Because some have also made the argument that low-income students, and especially athletes, you know, they're the ones who are bearing the brunt of the system as it has been for so many years, that they have traditionally not profited off of their talents, while the universities have made a fortune. And that, too, is unfair.
That is absolutely unfair. And you're right. That's exactly why it's complicated. But I think also part of the thing we need to think about is how many students are actually benefiting from these new incentives and how many students might be left out as a result of them.
So if the Supreme Court decision creates more problems or new problems in your mind, how do we solve it? How do we get back to equity in higher education?
I think a big part of this is colleges and universities need to take a moment to pause and really remember what is the purpose of our education, and also what are the financial commitments that we are willing to make. College presidents, boards of trustees really should be thinking about where they want to put their resources and whether or not some of their athletic programming is worth the actual cost. And again, what are the trade-offs?
Are you suggesting that maybe some of those programs in the athletic department should be cut, even though there will be tremendous pressure not to do so?
I worked in higher education for 22 years, and so I know about the tremendous pressure that athletic programs face, and especially if college presidents even suggest that they might cut some of those programs, especially because it's tied directly to potential fundraising efforts. But I do think it's important for colleges to pause and ask themselves about each of their programs. What is the return on the investment? What is the return on the student experience? And then decide whether or not those programs are actually worth keeping.
Angel Perez is CEO of the National Association for College Admission Counseling. We'll link you to his article in the Atlantic at hereandnow.org. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.